On this episode of Japan 2.0.
For example, my first week in Korea, a guy was wearing an Oakland County, Michigan shirt, and I went up to him and was like, dude, no way, you're from Oakland County, Michigan. I was pointing at his shirt, and he thought I was trying to, like, jump. Like, he got very afraid of me and ran away. Mystical world of game and wonder, arcade sensors like no other, nostalgia, yeah, yeah, every moment, everything is the when I jump all on it, damn, walking through these halls, my childhood is written on these walls,
Point. Hello and welcome to Japan 2.0. I'm Matt.
It's David.
And today we're joined with a special guest. And let the good people know what you sound like.
Hello, good people. My name's Chris. I'm the guest.
Why are you here? How do you know us?
Many years ago in Korea, we met at a school training. We were all working in the same province, and as fate would have it, we all met at this training. And
what's your first memory of Matt? First time you met him? Ooh. First impression? I don't remember. I remember meeting you, so clearly.
We should tell everyone there was a lot of alcohol involved. Truthfully, I don't even remember meeting any of you for the first time.
Really? That's so sad. Do you remember? Yeah. I first met Chris in a class. It was like a breakout session that we were in. We both awkwardly walked out of that breakout session for the break. We lingered. We didn't have any other clusters to go to. We were the two loners who decided to join up and have an awkward conversation. And I don't remember exactly what we talked about, but I remember it was a little bit awkward. But later that night, I think one of us invited each other to, like, hey, there's a bunch of people drinking together. You want to come? And then shortly after, we were singing Enrique Iglesias' Hero.
That I do remember. Of course. But everything before that, I don't.
What do you remember, Matt, before the Enrique Iglesias Hero karaoke?
I remember that Chris and I were talking on the first day. Like, we met at some point, and we were just hanging out together. And then, but my best memory of Chris was the day after everybody was hungover, and I wasn't feeling so great either, and we were discussing over cereal or something, like, what the best hangover food would be at the, like, convention, like what items they had. And our other good friend Tom, he was there. He was there too.
Well,
yeah, for that.
So we were like Tom, Matt, Chris, all of us. We were four very good friends. We had a very good thing going in Korea. So this is like the last link to understanding Matt and myself, is you knowing Chris, our inception of our friendship in Korea.
Yeah.
And the topic of today's show is very pertinent to that, which is what?
It's Japan versus Korea.
Yeah.
I feel like that. It's kind of, it's kind of negative, or I guess it's kind of like
there is a rivalry. I'm bad at saying this word, but there's a rivalry there. There is competition between the two countries.
Yeah, I guess there
but
is.
But that's not what this is about.
Yeah, we have. I feel like we did a podcast about Korea. We did a podcast about Japan. We're obviously very positive on our podcast. We love both countries a lot. So we're just going to talk about how they compare.
Yeah.
We're just playing up that, you know, competition that they've already established.
It's a comparison, and yeah, I feel like David and I have both talked about this on our podcast before.
And comes up as like side conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Usually when we go off on a tangent, we might talk about some of the times we had in Korea or our old podcast.
Our old podcast isn't along. It's not around anymore. There's like nowhere to listen to it.
Yeah, so
We used to not realize that in like the first season of the show. We used to always refer people back, go listen to Two Korean Monitudes, and we realized that it's not there anymore. So I kind of wanted to like use this as a point of reference, if that makes sense, to kind of recap our feelings of living there for 3-ish years.
Yeah, I lived there for four.
I lived there for four as well.
And three and a half, I think, or four.
Yeah. So, but David and I haven't been there in 4 years, right? Have you been back for a couple of visits, right?
3 years ago, but Chris brings a certain credibility because he's been back recently. And why is that?
Yeah, my wife is Korean, and so we visit fairly regularly to visit her family, and just about 8 months ago, my wife gave birth, and we decided to have the baby in Korea rather than here in Japan. Mm. So I was there for a small stretch of time, a few months, for the birth and a little bit after. So
yeah. So yeah, we all lived in Korea in our, what, late 20s?
Yeah. I might have been in my 30s.
There you go. And then I'll end up coming out to Japan, me early 30s, mid-30s?
Yeah. Mid-30s, I guess.
I think it's important to mention, because I've always said, just kind of as like a blanket statement to start us off, that I think Korea is the perfect place to live in your 20s, and Japan's a great place to live as you're older. I don't know if 30s is necessarily the right time. It depends what kind of 30-year-old you are. There's definitely a 30-year-old in me that definitely misses some of the wilder side of Korea, but I think other people maybe think, yeah, I'm done with that.
Yeah, I wonder, because when we were in Korea, I mean, it definitely, for me, it was a wild time in my life. It kind of felt like the college years that I never really had, right?
Exactly how some people say second round of college, but I didn't live the conventional college life. It was my, like, animal house period in my life. You know?
pizza every day, pizza school, piles of pizza school pizzas, and beer bottles everywhere in the apartment, right?
Starting off, Korea gets points for pizza school. There's nothing in Japan that compares to that for $5.
Yeah, and if you don't know, pizza school is a fast food chain in Korea.
Is it still going? Do you still see it?
Yeah, it's still there.
It's still there.
It's the hot and ready of Korea. That's the way to think of it.
It's 5,000 won, which is roughly $5 US dollars.
It has potato pizza, which America is totally missing out on. I think Americans it exists, but it's rare in the States, right?
Potato and ham is really good.
They have hot dog pizza too.
Yeah. Corn pizza. Golden ring is a sweet potato on the crust.
I won't blame pizza school for this, but once I had maraschino cherries on my pizza, that was Domino's.
Domino's, yeah. I mean, pizza in Japan is crazy too, but the thing is, pizza in Japan is like $25. It's like a gourmet food, where at least Korea has that cheap option. I used to eat it every Monday, because Mondays suck, right? So it's my treat every Monday after work. I'd eat pizza school.
I've had pizza school fairly recently, and it wasn't as good as I remember.
I wonder.
But, you know, the college days are gone, Chris.
Yeah, it's true.
Our second round of college is gone.
I kind of agree with that. But the other thing is, you know, I can't really, there's no point of comparison, because I never lived like, you know, like a retired life or like a slower life, you know, in Korea. I was living in an apartment where my apartment was paid for, where I was having parties over at my house all the time. And, you know, everybody was drinking, you know, a lot of beer. My wife and I were just talking about how, like, we used to go through those cast bottles. 40, those things are 40s. Like 40s, yeah, like all the time.
And yeah, those things are always stocked in people's fridges.
Yeah.
And cast red, you remember the cast red?
Yeah. How we barely had room in our fridge, and we had room for those, I guess.
But my point of comparison was, when I came to Japan, then I kind of went back to that mode. Like, to me, that was just like life in Asia mode, if that makes sense.
Mm.
And it didn't work here. There just wasn't. There's a stage system in Korea, right? There's like certain stages to the night, and you can't get past like stage two. Koreans are like going to like a club. To me, clubbing culture doesn't really exist in Japan. It exists, but it's just horrible. You have to pay money, and people don't go there just to relax. They're
the barrier of entry.
It's more like an American club system, which I didn't like.
Is different.
So, like, nightlife to me is one of the biggest differences between the two countries. It's definitely one thing that I loved in Korea very much, and just almost non-existent here. It's pretty horrible, like, the club culture. And none of us are club people back in the States, and Korea made us a lot of our best memories together are dancing at nightclubs.
That's true.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I never went to a club back in the States. And I definitely went to a lot of them in Korea. I guess I can't speak to what you are speaking to, David.
You've never tried to do it here.
In Japan, I've never... Yeah. I feel like that was a stage of my life that, since coming here, has passed.
The night is young, folks.
That's right. It's Friday night. Yeah. We're all drinking. Have you tried going to like a club here before?
I guess not a club. I mean, you got to remember, in Japan, a lot of times when I go out to something, I go out because I'm kind of interested in something. And Japan has a curation that, like, I feel Korea doesn't quite have. If you want Northern Seoul, you could go to a club and definitely get Northern Seoul all night long, you know? And
you got you and what was his name?
Paul.
Paul, we're trying to start up Northern Soul Nights and well, Soul, Soul, you did.
It was Northern Soul, Funk, Soul, Jazz. We kind of kept it pretty broad because like there's not a lot of like of that kind of music, you know, other than Shake, which was probably the other place.
Guys are literally the only people probably in the country doing it. Yeah. Fortune Span, the same can never be said, right?
There's probably, you know, I mean, the soul, soul and funk culture and Northern Soul goes back,
I think,
you know,
any kind of
to the
like
60s, probably.
Niche subgenre thing is being done here somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, clubbing, like, you know, the strobe lights and then the, probably Metro would be, like, you went to Metro, right? Which is probably, like...
In Kyoto?
Yeah, that was probably the closest thing to, like, a dance club, right?
I've been to dance clubs, because, again, I fell in love strong, but, like, I really like that stuff in Korea, and I've always wanted to recreate it out here. I just think it's different. Even before you get to the club stage, don't you think nightlife here just isn't the same as Korea?
Oh, definitely.
Like, the drinking culture is stronger. The soju, which none of us were into, but, like, people around you are drinking soju and just getting drunk. And, I don't know, there's just alcohol everywhere. The galbi culture, I think, is, like, very associated with alcohol. The barbecue is galbi.
I think it's the social drinking aspect.
People in Japan definitely drink, but I don't know how to explain it.
I always think about this because I'm always comparing my time here and my time in Korea, but I always have to remind myself that I'm living in Kobe rather than Tokyo, where I was living in Seoul or near Seoul. And so if I, like, that would be like living in the city of Daejeon, which is a much smaller city where the culture wouldn't be what I had experienced.
Maybe Busan, because
or Busan, yeah.
But even though, like, we're in Osaka right now recording this, Osaka is a pretty big city. I always agree it's not a fair comparison to compare Kansai to Seoul. But I've been in Tokyo a lot. In terms of nightlife, drinking culture, kind of like a certain pace of life or buzz, I think it's just a bit slower here, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like places where people sit down, they have a bunch of drinks, they socialize with one another. In Korea, that's everywhere. That's like on every block. You could just find a barbecue restaurant and sit down, and then you're automatically a part of like a group.
We live in a place called Suma. It's a sizable place. It's like kind of where I started off in Korea. And yeah, there's nowhere to like... I'm thinking about my little small town in Korea, like Suma. Yeah, there was definitely like lots of drinking establishments, barbecue restaurants everywhere. Yeah. Like, there's just a lot to do. They really designed, it's a premeditated kind of synthetic design to the cities there. Did they guarantee you have like the necessities to have a good time and to live a comfortable life in Korea, right?
I think another thing that I just thought of right now is that in Korea, a lot of times all the tables are kind of connected. Like, there isn't always a division between like one group, not in all cases, but like a lot of barbecue restaurants and stuff, you're always near other people. Like, a lot of times it's one table that where you have your grill, and then right next to you is another group that's eating on the other grill, and that kind of inspires like people to talk back and forth with one another, you know? Like, I mean, here in Japan we don't have that much unless you go to a barbecue restaurant.
We should maybe transition to that topic, which is another one Korea gets points on, I think, over Japan. We just had Chris and I had a mutual friend.
So it is a competition.
I think, just to be clear, it helps to kind of say that.
Yeah.
We have a mutual friend who just got back from Korea, his first time there after living in Japan. And his big thing, his number one thing that he was like shocked by, the biggest difference, he said, was hospitality. And I think that's a really good way to put it. Hospitality in terms of, Chris was saying, like, not service industry necessarily, but like, just the warmness and openness of people to take you under their wing and make sure you're having a good time and you're comfortable in their country. And for me, that's the number one thing that Korea offers. Travel the world, and there's no other country or no other group of people that are, hospitable or just warm. I think it's their greatest asset, is the people and how kind they are, especially in drinking situations or kind of food situations. I think food culture in Korea is a bit of a way of life.
Yeah, socialization over food and drinks is
people pay for your food and drinks there, especially if they're older. So if you go there when you're young, it's very nice. It's a good place to live while you're young. And I think, just being an outsider, especially I think probably being white really helps a lot too, being a foreigner who's white. They really love paying especially for you. I can't tell you how many things I've had paid for in Korea. The weirdest, nothing too weird, but I've had hotels, taxis, $100 meals and drinks. And
yeah.
Crazy stuff.
I think we all have stories like that, yeah. I wonder, though, how much of our situation makes a difference. Like, when we were working in Korea, we were working for the government. That's how we all met each other, because we were working for, like, a GEPIC, which is, like, a, you know, placed native English speakers in high schools and
it's like
middle
jet,
schools,
jet
right?
program in Japan.
Yeah, basically the same thing. Where out here, we're not really doing that kind of work. You know, I was working at private schools for a while, and now I'm working at an international school.
Chris and I worked in the private sector in Korea as well, education as well.
But we haven't done that in Japan.
Yeah, I think with the amount of money, for me, that's a big one that makes it a hard even comparison, is the amount of money you make in Japan is more than in Korea, you know?
Yeah.
But there's positives and negatives to that, I think, too. You know, I think part of the Korean experience was being cheap and, you know, like, drinking outside a lot. Yeah. And
everything was cheap.
Yeah.
Very rarely I went to a place where I felt like I couldn't afford anything, you know? Where
to
here
me,
in Japan,
a $20 meal is pretty normal here. Yeah. Where in Korea, that would have been, like, once a year, maybe I spent $20 on a meal, I think.
But I think I think Matt's point about our situation being not just at GEPIC,
jobs,
but
yeah.
even the private sector, Hagwon, the study, like the cram schools. I don't know. I can't really speak to the JET program, but I feel like there may be more comparisons to that. At least in Korea, it seemed to be like a lot of younger, right out of college, like we were saying before, second college experience. So it was a bunch of young people partying, where at least for
Matt,
David and I.
I'm gonna embarrass Matt here. Matt was like an old guy to a lot of us in Korea.
We
didn't know. Like, he had to tell us his age. We would never have guessed. He's young spirit. Yeah. But I never met.
But I was older too. I mean, David, you and I are the same age, and we were slightly on the older side of that.
Which is late 20s.
And you guys aren't much younger than me. So.
Yeah. But my point was, like, I remember like seeing like non-Korean children or like people who are like 40 or 50 and just being like, what are they doing here?
Yeah.
Because everyone is a lot of military guys in the military, and I guess some girls in the military. You get a lot of 20-year-old foreigners in Korea.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of second round of college. Like I said, it's just really the kind of MO of a lot of the other foreigners that you meet there, you know?
Right. Maybe my assumption is wrong, but if I was in the JET program, I feel like I might experience more of a similar young crowd that goes out in a similar manner. And maybe you're right that it doesn't seem like the establishments or the culture isn't the same.
Yeah, I don't think it.
But because we're older, married, with children, working at an international school where it's our profession now, it's no longer just this job we had.
Yeah.
I feel like that changes a lot.
I think it does. Another thing with the situation, you have one more thing.
Oh, I was just going to say that we don't work with a lot of Japanese coworkers or bosses. You know?
We're all more ingrained in Korean culture than I think we are in Japanese culture.
Yeah, yeah. Because we work with the whole staff of my school in Korea was Korean.
We were the only non-Korean, well, maybe one or two non-Korean
It'd
people
be
in
almost
the entire
the
school.
Reverse situation. In my first year in Korea, my big rule was I wouldn't allow myself to make foreign friends. I thought I was just going to do 1 year there and go home. So I said, I'll make tons of fellow North American friends back home. So.
And look what happened.
I know. I ended up marrying a foreigner. I met in Korea. But yeah, I think that goes to the extreme, the show. Like, yeah, we all had more Korean friends and worked with Koreans there. And so sometimes, you know, it's hard to say what the work life would be like here in Japan.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a lot of Japanese coworkers go out all the time, like, you know, and stay in izakayas all night long and stuff, you know. I think it's part of, like, that's part of, there's like a drinking culture and a social culture to like working in an office or working at a school or something that, you know, we're not privy to because we just don't work that closely with, you know, our Japanese staff.
Do you feel, Chris, that, like, I always think we were at Korea, like, the perfect time, like the coolest time there was to be in Korea. And Japan went through like a kind of big cultural boom in like the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I wonder if we kind of missed that bus or like what it would have been like to have been here 20 years ago. But I never had that feeling about Korea. I feel like maybe now wouldn't be cool to be there. If I got there 5 years before I did, it wouldn't have been good to be in Korea. You've been there back more recently. Do you still feel like that kind of big boom is happening in Korea, or do you feel like it's going away?
Well, at the time, I didn't realize maybe that I was there at the right time.
When were we there? It was 2008. I was got there in 2008.
Yeah, it was like 8 years ago, right?
So 2011, 2013.
Yeah.
So that was like the K-pop. They officially call it the second wave, but it was definitely much, much bigger than that first wave. Like Big Bang and Girls' Generation.
Before Psy.
Way before Psy.
Yeah.
Well, last year. I left by the time he came out.
Yeah.
So it was right before that explosion happened, which is obviously, usually that's the best time, right? Right before something goes mainstream, you're feeling that kind of bubble. Not just the music, but the fashion, just buildings, getting Western companies out there.
I think food. If we're talking about explosion outside of Korea, right, getting more interest, and again, I can only speak to America, but it seemed like that was the time that K-pop as well as Korean food really got popular. It took a long time, and maybe it wasn't even until Korean Mexican fusion.
What did you guys know about Korean food before moving there? I knew it was spicy.
Yeah.
That there's going to be fish involved and
barbecue.
I had to like really research to find out about barbecue.
I went to Barnes & Noble and I read a book. And it was like, they talked about some of the food and I was like, I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. I knew that my diet beforehand was like exclusively, I mean, no fish, you know. Like, I don't think I ever had any fish or squid.
I hated fish.
But as soon as I got to Korea, I mean, I grew accustomed to like all their fish dishes and squid, like we were talking about squid early, off mic, but you know, squid and mayonnaise, dipped in mayonnaise, is a common, like, you know, bar food in Korea, and I got into the eating that with my Korean friends and my Korean coworkers.
Coffee culture was exploding when we were there too in Korea. I might have been there a little bit.
My first year, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think Starbucks did a lot to help Korea with coffee culture because the places my Korean friends were taking me were like $10 for cups of coffee down in like Apsheong area. Granted, it's an expensive area, but I think Starbucks helped drive down the price of coffee there and not make it this like luxurious export.
I also feel though, there's the Korean chains that were competing with Starbucks that started popping up right around that same time. But since then, there's been the big influx.
What were they? Cafe Bene.
Angel In Us.
Angel In Us. That was the
Cafe
worst
Bene,
name.
Angel In Us. Tom and Tom's.
Tom and Tom's.
And then, of course, they have Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, which is
California. But the coffee culture there, like, I think all of us, I always liked coffee, but I think it took our, like, coffee love to the next level, you know, and our, like, love for cafes.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
It's very inspiring. I think it's a weird thing to say, but, like, I want to open a cafe because of that. I think we've all considered, like, what it would be like to run one.
Yeah, I proposed to my wife in Analog Pot Cafe in Korea because I got to know the,
rest
like...
Rest in peace, by the way.
Is it gone?
It's no longer Analog Pot. It's else.
Oh, man, that's too
we
bad.
Were just... Last time you I was the there, no, we were looking into going and looked it up and we couldn't find any information about it. Mm. Analog Pot... There's this, the cool. second location exists, yeah. but the big...
Okay, but the second location.
It was this cafe that was out in the middle of nowhere, almost like in a mountainous area.
It was in the mountain.
Yeah, and it was this massive facility.
Roastery. It was a school to like teach how to... I don't know.
It was just beautiful scenery.
It was, it was amazing.
It was very urban, but just like on a mountain.
Yeah, you know? I filmed the movie up there.
Oh, is that Tom?
Yeah, that's where we did Morning Owl. So if you're a super fan... You go track down Morning Owl.
Finding Morning Owl.
That would be like,
that
would be like gold, yeah.
But yeah, since...
Like food and coffee culture.
But since going back even more recently, granted, I mean, I lived in the center of Seoul my first year, was in the coffee, and there wasn't, in terms of like independent small coffee shops...
Outside of Hongdae had it going on.
Hongdae had a few, but still, like, outside of Hongdae now, it's very easy to find amazing coffee shops all over the place.
Roasteries, like Great Espresso.
Which is something that Japan lacks.
Yeah.
At least here. In outside of Tokyo.
If you like drip coffee, I think they do okay, but still not compared to Korea. Korea's awesome. It's cheap and it's good. But there was like cultural explosion, right? Not just exporting, but I think within Korea, like every day there was new stuff popping up. They were building new little mini cities, and it just felt there was like a certain buzz or energy there, you know?
Craft beer was the one that,
that was beer was a big one, too.
That was a big one.
Do you feel that that's still going on? Like when you go there, does it still feel like it's a really exciting place to be compared to Kansai, you know, where we are?
Well, I feel like the speed of capitalism is very different. So I feel like in Korea, I don't know if the barrier to, I don't know much about it, but I feel like the barrier to entry to get
must
a shop
low, right?
open must be much lower than here.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe they're less cautious. Because here it seems like it takes a long time.
People seem conservative, right?
For that change, or for, and again, I am thinking about Western places opening up, because those things tend to catch my eye.
Matt and I have been very vocal about the lack of Western places out here, but we've said it's getting, seems to be getting better in the last year.
Oh,
I don't know if
changing,
it's an Olympic thing or not.
But in Korea, it seems like anything that they, any trend, like they're so
trend.
Quick to catch on trends, and once one takes off, this is, I would say, a negative actually. They tend to get copycats or things similar, and then it just kind of oversaturates the market. And in within a year or two, it seems that trend is gone, and all those shops disappear, which is frustrating. I had left Korea for a few years, and then I came back trying to find like my favorite places, and like, I mean, 90% of them were no longer open.
Yeah, you have to just say like, I like this kind of thing in Korea, and you can't get attached to like it has to be at this location.
Yeah.
You just got, and it's still funny, there's just so many of the same kind of place. It'd be like a certain kind of like chicken, fried chicken that takes up, right? Like Yangyang chicken. Or like a, there's a fried mandu there. And like, this place is gone, but you know what? There's like four other ones over here.
But there's interesting things, like, if I'm sure you guys all remember the place Fry Pan.
Yeah, is that done?
So, which was a boneless chicken and like chips.
Yeah, but boneless chicken was kind of rare there.
And
that was really
and this
rare.
Place was very somewhat unique, and they exploded, and all of a sudden I think it was like some college
it was a university student project
and it took off, and they were all over the area. I don't know if any of them are currently still in existence.
That creates a very exciting feeling of like, you gotta capture it in a bottle while it's there, but it's also pretty sad that like Japan is the complete opposite, right?
Yeah.
Japan will have, similar to the U.S., I think, maybe even more extreme than the U.S., that, like, they're just, like, institutions and establishments here, and it's just the norm. They're not really celebrated for being such. I mean, obviously, like, the classic Kyoto culture and stuff you think of, like, they're just places here that have been around for 100 years, and the little gyoza place in Suma, I finally went there the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, how long have you guys like, been around? You know, I'm thinking, like, 30, it seems pretty long to me, 30 years. Oh, I think it's like our 98th year or 99th year.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That tradition, I mean, that's one thing that Japan definitely does better than Korea. Like, there's that tradition, you know, like where we open a place and there's a respect for, like, that tradition. And it might be the aging population, but I don't know what the birth rate is in Korea right now. You know, in Japan, the birth rate has always been, you know,
famously
bad. And but
it's not great, but it's I think better than here.
Yeah, but I think
it's changing actually. It's becoming, from what I know, and again I could be off on this, but I feel like it is becoming
appropriations on the rise.
No, it's becoming an issue, much like many places where people are less interested in having kids for financial reasons or whatever it is. I feel like that is becoming.
Okay.
I think Japan may be a few steps ahead of Korea in that department of like
being worse,
of being in a problem, like
there's
a current issue with the lack of children and the population dying.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about this before about curation, like how Japan has, like, you know, they get into something. We were talking about Northern Seoul earlier. Like if a club is into Northern Seoul, it's been into Northern Seoul for like the last 30 years, right? Like, I mean, they'll zone in on something and then stick with it. Like if you have a hobby, you go all in on your hobby. Where Korea might be chasing trends more than it does, you know, stick with something and then make that a tradition.
I noticed
it
in fashion first, right? Where like back home, if you're punk, you're punk. That's tied to like a history or a region of town you live in, maybe, or maybe your dad was punk too, you know, and it's like inspired you. You could never go like 10 years later and be a hip hop man. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to like move or something if you did that, because like everyone would just call you out on it. Yeah. I remember in Korea, in like 3 years' time, seeing someone like who I worked with go from being one style to another and be like, well, like, you can't do that, you know? Yeah, yeah. And kind of question, like, why can't I do that? I don't know. I don't really know why. I think that's, for me, was like how I realized that exists in business as well, or food, or whatever it is, that, yeah, trends, there's no dedication to it. There's the culture or the history that goes along with things, people are totally unaware of. And maybe that's cultural too. Maybe you could say that the same about modern, like young American kids too. But I feel like, yeah, it's like they have no idea why they're wearing what they're wearing, what the history of this food is that they're eating, or anything like that. It's just maybe in a K-pop song or something, or in a drama, so it gets hot, and 2 years later people forget about it.
Now, Korea was, I mean, as far as internet goes, way better connected than Japan, right? So I wonder if that could be attributed to, like, the internet and the access to the internet that Korea has. Like, I mean, maybe it is Instagram culture that, like, powers culture, right? You know? Like, these trends that are popping up all the time are what everyone sees, and that's what they're... And so if it changes, it doesn't matter, because, like, in those places, you know, something might be popular for a month or two.
When you lived there, Facebook was just taking off in Korea, right?
Yeah.
I remember my wife, I met her in MySpace. I used her in MySpace. That's how old that was. She had a MySpace account, and that's what was, like, the main thing.
I used to have a MySpace.
She was using it, which is probably still late. But, yeah, social media wasn't quite booming then.
Well, but I would say Korea's had other social media.
Was Kakao, is that kind of social
media? KakaoTalk, and then they had their own version of a Facebook. I cannot remember what it is.
Like Americana Online?
Oh, yeah.
No. Actual social networking that wasn't...
The Japanese one before Facebook was called Mixi. I don't know what the Korean one was.
I forget the name of the Korean one. I joined it. It didn't work. I couldn't get it to work well.
Anyway, but they seem like... I imagine now it's even worse than it was in terms of, like, just the turnover of trends and how fast it is. Because I think even the West is caught up in that way. Music trends, too, right? They were, like, the first to do what they called the mini album, which was essentially an EP. And Western culture now, like, in the last 2 years, the average album length is, like, 30 minutes long. And people are releasing pretty much EP. They're following that Korean norm of... We're just no reason doing like hour long album anymore, right? Because trends and like fast fashion and all that stuff.
Just do some singles and stuff.
Yeah, and Korea was really early to that trend for sure.
I remember I liked these guys. They were kind of like a comedy duo. I remember the names of the songs. I don't know. Moonlight, Delight, and
Mighty Mouse.
No, they were really funny though. But anyways, they released some songs that I really like, and so I was like, oh, I'll just get their album. And there's no album, you know, it's just the singles they released.
Yeah.
11, there was a song from Korea called 11, and it had this crazy music video with this really bad computer animation.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
And
is that gonna be our song of the show?
It should be our song of the show. Yeah, let's do that. I think I own that on iTunes, so but that song was awesome, and I was like, oh, I want more of this. I'll get their album. No album, just the single, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Western artists are doing that though. I mean, it seems like there's more people that are just releasing singles and no longer releasing
like
albums.
Like I said, I think the time we were in Korea was very cutting edge, and there's a lot of stuff happening there. Again, whether it was the trend stuff, and I think now like Western culture is kind of copying that very fast turnover, just whatever's hot, you know, to some degree. When I was just talking about the fashion stuff too, I think that that's probably, you're seeing that in the West more now too, you know, people just kind of blindly following trends without really knowing why they're wearing what they're wearing, or same with restaurants and things like that too, right? Just to get the Instagram views, and then they gotta keep changing. Do you want to do a break or
whatever? I was just thinking about what you're saying.
No. Is there something you have something to add, Chris?
No, I mean, I just can't speak. You, Dave, you're way more the fashion guy. See, because I don't know if I follow trends anyway, but I don't think I would ever think about why I'm wearing what I'm wearing. So I guess I'm not the guy you're thinking about.
Never wear like a Chicago Portland Trail Blazers shirt without knowing who they are. You would never, for example, my first week in Korea, a guy was wearing an Oakland County, Michigan shirt, and I went up to him and was like, dude, no way, you're from Oakland County, Michigan. I was pointing at his shirt, and he thought I was trying to, like, jump. Like, he got very afraid of me and ran away.
I went to UCLA, and I've talked to people, like, wearing UCLA shirts. I was like, oh, UCLA, did you go to UCLA? And they looked at me like I was from Mars.
And if I was wearing a Korean shirt in the States, and I didn't know what it said, I wouldn't be shocked if a Korean guy came up to me and chatted with me, right?
Right.
Like, I maybe wouldn't know what I was wearing, you know? But, like, this, there's that. Okay, there's someone who would be wearing a band shirt, wearing a Ninja Turtle shirt or something, and not knowing who the Ninja Turtles are. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
I feel like that just... It seems like that's just a general thing that's happening these days.
But this is almost 10 years ago now, right?
Yeah, I guess it's
so
true.
So, this is what I'm saying. That now, though, I agree that I think the West is kind of getting that way, but my first time experiencing that was in Korea, which I felt was a little... I don't want to call it ahead because it sounds like it's a good thing. I think it's a bad thing. But, yeah, people just seem to, like, just be doing what was hot. I had certain friends, like, not close friends, who they totally changed their look, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't Hot Topic doing that, though, before, like, we left for Korea? Like, I feel like Hot Topic.
Like, selling
subculture stuff.
People would at least do an internet search, though. Do you know what I mean? Like... There was a certain, like, you had to do that to get street cred.
Yeah.
I don't think you would wear a Slipknot shirt from Hot Topic unless you
knew who Slipknot was.
At least knew their basic...
Is that even the right thing? Hot Topic?
No, I think that's the perfect guys for that topic.
Korea would always call it comeback. And people would have, like, comebacks after, like, 2 years. This is a Big Bang comeback. It's been 2 years. 2 years is a pretty normal length for someone to record an album, or three years, right?
As a fan of the Beastie Boys, that's like
a 5 years, right? There were always these comebacks, and they had this new image, and you'd hardly be able to recognize them, and you'd be like, whoa, has it been like a decade? Yeah. Nah, it's been a year or two. Like, and places there would always say established, like, 2005. Like, the business would say existed since 2007.
And it was like 2000.
We'd be like, that's 3 years. Like, what does that mean? That means a lot in Korea to be around for 3 years. So that's not, there's so many negatives to that, but it just creates a very exciting atmosphere. The only thing in Japan I can think of like that is like the seasonal items at the convenience store.
Yeah.
Where they come and go, and you gotta be excited when they're there because you know they won't be around. But yeah, Japan's the complete opposite. Like, generally, I can think of Nigo from Bathing Ape. Yeah. Or the Cornelius guys really changing their style in like 10 years. But besides that.
But even like, so I just watched a Major Force like documentary, and actually I should send it
you. I saw you retweeted something. Yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely check that
out.
They're
like the first hip hop label.
But like, it showed pictures of Nigo from pretty early, and I was like, yeah, I mean, it's not like the transition was that, you know, that severe. I mean, I think that, I don't know, it's kind of like, like you were saying, the seasonal food items. I wonder if, like, there's some financial reason why people can, in Korea, change trends and they can... Like, maybe they sell their business and then they go.
Clothes are cheap and stuff, too. And, yeah, like Chris said maybe the startup, historically, too. Startup is cheap, too.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's that cheap culture that keeps things fresh, too.
Well, I think this is a good place to take a break.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sounds good.
And when we come back... We'll share more of our opinions.
Echo. This is the segment where we tell you about our favorite franchises in Japan. Personally, I don't really like this one, but it's very useful. And Chris loves this place. That's another reason we brought him on. We knew he was going to talk about it. It was very premeditated. Chris, what is this chain?
I don't feel like that was an accurate representation, but the chain is...
This is a bad intro.
Is Syria.
It was a great intro.
Which is a...
Cereal.
Syria.
Syria, yeah.
Which is one of Japan's 100 yen shops like Daiso.
So Daiso is more famous. Why are we talking about Seria?
I talk about that because that's the one me and my wife end up going to more often.
Because?
Because it's in the basement of the mall. Oh,
I think the quality of Seria is so much better than Daiso.
I think partially it's convenience, but I would agree. I like it better.
It's smaller than most Daisos, but quality or quantity, right?
Yeah. So I'll be honest, I don't actually personally shop there a lot, but I go there a lot, and my wife does buy a lot of stuff.
Do you get out of bowls, like a lot of cereal bowls and chopsticks?
We probably have, cleaning supplies. I do shop there for like school supplies, like things like that.
Yeah. For me, my mom growing up always wanted to go to a dollar store. What's it called? Dollar Tree?
Dollar Tree, yeah. We had Dollar Tree back home.
In the car because I just thought, number one, there's zero interest in that shop. But also, like, the connotation of being there to me, if I saw someone from school, would be, I'd be done for, I thought. But now, granted, I'm older, right? So that's a big difference. But, like, the stuff that you can find at the dollar stores there, or Seria in particular, I've lived over 5 years now, and there's so many times I'm like, this cannot be a dollar. Clearly, this is one of those ones that's going to be labeled like $5 or $3, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it almost, I think 95% of the things in there are actually just a dollar.
Yeah.
Maybe 90%.
Yeah.
There are some things in there that are mind-bogglingly, like how is this a dollar? And it's like, so, like you said, the dishes and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll go to other places and I'll see like a $30 dish. I'm like, honestly, that looks just like what I could get at Seria. Like, I don't know what the difference is.
I wanted ramen bowls, and they had a ramen bowl at Daiso. It was Daiso.
Okay.
But it had the same design, and it had like little dragons on the side and stuff. And I was like, this is just as good as the $30 one that I saw in the mall.
When friends come out here, the place they end up buying like stuff to take back home is either Uniqlo, which we talked about before, or Daiso, or Seria. And for me too, here's my secret. If anyone listens to this from back home, when I bring omiyage or gifts for people back home, it's almost always from the dollar store. And I never tell them it costs a dollar. I'll let their minds wander how much I spend on that. But there's no reason for me not to buy it from there.
There's some great things. Like, you could buy, there's these towels that also work as, like, wall scrolls and stuff. And they have, like, you know, famous woodblock prints and stuff on them. You could go to a dollar shop, like, you know, Daiso, and buy a whole bunch of those. And actually, the last time I went back home and I brought all my omiyage and stuff, I wrapped them in those because it looked awesome. You know, I did the whole Japanese tie. So, it's a fabric tying your wrapping your present, you know?
Yeah.
And it looked really cool.
It's cool, yeah. Yeah, so that's just like kind of the tip of the iceberg. There's the dollar stores that are kind of famous. In California, they have Daisos and stuff, right? But there's this whole one coin kind of aspect to a lot of establishments here that, you know, I liked Japan a lot before I lived here and I had never really heard of it. And it's restaurants that will sell things for one coin or under. Sometimes that sounds better than it actually is because a coin can go up to 500 yen or $5.
Yeah.
So like first time I ever went to a place like that was a pizza place. It was like a bar and pizza place where all the drinks in the bar and the pizzas were $5 or under. Yeah. It sounds... I don't know. Somehow I end up always spending more money at those places than I imagine, if that makes sense.
Well,
like sizes are smaller than normal or something like that. Or you just have this mindset of like, it's cheap, so I'll just order a lot and it adds up quickly.
Gohaku and the 500 yen coins are the... I mean, they're the best. They look cool.
They're slammers. They're slammers, man.
Like totally. Everybody that's from the 90s.
When you reach in your pocket and you find a slammer or a gohaku again, it's a happy day.
I love it. When I look through my little coin container
purse?
Thing. Yeah, it's not a purse. It's a pouch. Come on, man. It's a pouch.
And
I have two of those in there. I'm like, man, I could eat for 2 days with this, you know?
That's right.
Especially if there's a one coin place around.
What other kind of one coin? So I had pizza, drinks, what other kind of places?
I've had a one coin, like udon and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. 500 yen for a bowl of noodles and stuff.
There's the whole area. We were just hanging out at a department store in Osaka.
Yeah, the Hankyu building.
Hanshin
building. Yeah, the new Hanshin building.
The whole basement of that building. I've heard every restaurant has to have at least one thing on the menu that's one coin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all standing down there.
It looks, right? To me, I went down there recently, and it looked like most of the items were 500 yen.
Okay, maybe so the whole place is.
I think
is
the whole place is, okay. is 500 yen. So, I mean, if you're that's coming kind of, to visit, I think that's kind of a cool place to check out.
It's kind of funny back home to think of a department store where everything would be $5 or less at a restaurant, you know? It just it seems a bit counter to the, like, the upscale status of department stores, I suppose.
It kind of goes back to like what we were talking about with pizza school, right?
All comes back to pizza school.
$5 comes back to pizza school.
Hot and ready. We have our own one coin culture in the States. Sadly, it costs a lot of coins to pay for that.
That's
how many coins would that be?
Oh,
four,
for
20 coins. There you go. Did it. Unless you have the half dollar.
I've forgotten.
Silver dollars.
Silver dollars.
Five.
There you go.
Well, anyway, you have a $2 bill, right?
There's know your chain. We got the one coin culture and
Syria, Daiso.
Syria and Daiso.
Yeah, definitely check them out. Get your gifts there.
Chris's favorite.
Yes.
Chris, before we go,
yeah.
What's your favorite thing from Syria that you have in your house?
Like I said, my wife usually buys these. Chris. I know exactly what it is. We have these little cups. They're like. I guess go back to Korea, the beer drinking cups.
Metal ones?
No.
They're glass.
Glass.
Oh. Yeah,
they got tiny small, size. Small little glass.
I love that size.
Narrow beer drinking cups.
I can't, when I get a pipe now, I think like, this is horrible. How am I going to drink all this? And because it stays cold in the small ones. I like them, man. Good pacing.
So I came home and my wife had found a couple of, one of them has cacti on it. And I quite enjoy.
So you're in the cacti?
I don't know, but I quite enjoy that. Quite enjoy that cup. Yeah. So there.
What's yours, Matt?
Well, you know, there's a place called Asoko.
Yeah.
That it's slightly better than
That's
but
expensive.
No. I mean,
relatively.
Okay.
That might be 2 or 3 coin shop.
Maybe. But anyways, yeah. I got a mug from there, and it has all of the locations, the best locations in Osaka, and I don't know, I love that mug, and that I think was only 200 yen, so I guess I am cheating a little bit.
I have that mug as well. I think Matt, you actually bought it for me.
He likes it so much.
Yeah, it was.
But it's still one of my favorite mugs to drink out of. Yeah. So let's know your chain.
Terrarium, is that the right word?
You mean like a little like circular garden, like
I have a beetle, a pet beetle, and he lives in a terrarium.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right.
Oh, yeah. And all that stuff, like his food, the wood, everything there is a dollar.
It's crocodile, right?
Crocodile.
Is the name of your beetle?
Crocodile the beetle. It's a long story. But all the stuff for his, like the whole setup was like $5 because everything was a dollar in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, there's a whole beetle section in there, like the nets to catch them and all that stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you want to keep it Japanese, you know, that's a very Japanese answer.
It's worth checking out Daiso and Syria. I think they're, like, you could find some really good stuff there. And
first time you go there, it's shocking, like, how interesting this. You're going to want to buy something. It's hard to walk out of there or not.
And even when you live here, like, to buy tubs and things for your sink and stuff and the boring stuff that you don't really.
I think even wealthy people go to the dollar store, and that's the fascinating thing about it, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like unintelligent. You'd be stupid to not buy
it. I feel like there's no stigma like you were describing for the Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Granted, I'm out of the loop with the Japanese side of things, but it doesn't seem like there is.
I've seen people that look well-to-do shopping there. You know?
Yeah. That might be a topic for another day.
Daiso's
I find like people don't seem to be as... Like, there's not that divide here in Japan that, like, there would be back home. Like, I feel like if you go to Beverly Hills, you know, it's a big difference from going to, like, South Pasadena or, you know.
That's a good feature. I would like to talk about social class.
Yeah, maybe we might have to talk about that.
While we're talking about Korea, I think there's more of a divide here than it was in Korea. But we'll get into that after the break.
Breaking?
Yeah, we're breaking right now. This is the break right now.
All
right.
And we're back.
Last portion of our show, comparing two of my favorite countries in the world.
Yeah.
Places that I both consider would be home very much, maybe more than my country of birth. That is Korea and Japan. We've talked about food, talked about coffee, talked about fashion, talked about nightlife. Those are all my favorite things. What do we have left to talk about?
I mean, what about what we miss, like when you look back and think about like what, you know, we've been in Japan for a while, like what are some of the things that we really I mean, maybe it's the coffee, maybe it's, you know, all those things. But is there anything that you guys look back fondly on and think, like, I really miss that aspect?
Well, we talked about food. I think we're all people who like food. I'm very much on record with you guys of far preferring Japanese food to Korean food. I honestly don't know what your answers would be, so I am curious to ask. Out of Matt first, do you like Japanese food or Korean food better?
I'm about the same. I would say that, like,
same as me, or 50-50?
No, I'm 50-50. I love barbecue. So, like, in Korea, you get that. You could get barbecue here, but it's much more expensive. It's a little, maybe a little more pretentious. And
I like the taste of the barbecue better.
And personally, it's expensive. The quality is probably better in Japan, but I mean, and that social aspect of eating barbecue and stuff, like, true. I mean, that's
you get
that's
your own private booth here at barbecue usually.
Yeah, and then not only that, they bring a lot of side dishes, and then usually it's unlimited. So, like, if you like the kimchi, or if you like the different sides, like the salted bean sprouts that you get in most Korean barbecues and stuff. Like, I mean, if you like that stuff, you just eat tons of it, and it'll just keep coming and coming. It'll never end.
For me, the sides aren't good, so I could care less if they're free or not.
That being said, Japanese cuisine has more variety, right? And so, I mean, although I love Korean barbecue, I mean, if I did have to choose between one or the other, I would choose Japanese, just because of the sheer different types of food that there are. Where in Korea, it does become like you're eating some of the same dishes over and over. You could get adventurous and try, like, you know, what is it, dead man soup, jjigae. I forget what it's called, but it's a smelly bean soup that, like,
I really love that. Cheonggukjang. It's one of my favorite foods in Korea. Yep.
I liked the other one, doenjang. Doenjang I really like, yeah. Doenjang jjigae is really good, but I wasn't a fan of the real stinky stuff.
All right, Chris, don't disappoint your Korean wife.
I won't. No, I'm definitely on the Korean side of things. And maybe that's a product of me being married to a Korean woman until we eat more Korean at home. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just not eating enough Japanese food to understand quite what Matt's talking about in terms of variety. But I think I would choose Korean food. I think if you're looking for variety, Matt, you mentioned a couple soups, but I mean, soup in general, there are so many that are quite different, I think. And that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite. Korean soups and stews are probably my favorite foods outside of
jjigae, man. Budae jjigae, army soup or whatever it translates to, but budae jjigae in Korea is
my issue with the soup
fantastic.
It's probably a very Western perspective, but soup is not, it's like a side item. It's like a salad, right? I would never say, like, I love salad. Like, I look forward to salad. So soup to me, I view it that way. And the issue is, like, the protein in the soup was very sparse in Korea. So that, to me, made it, unless you're going to someone's house, you know, like a wealthy person's house. I found out at restaurants a lot, because I guess I would want meat. I like meat a lot, and it was very rare in there. There's often more bones than meat a lot of times.
Yeah, there was one that had, like, meat in it that was quite good.
There's Galbi Jim. There's Sorongtong, but the meat's not a lot. Gamjatong, it's a potato and pork.
It's true. The meat is not. There's not a lot of meat, but
I was always so hungry after eating soups.
But
unless you pile rice in there, which to me is just a bunch of carbs.
I did that too.
I feel like soup is always as part of a larger meal.
Yeah.
So you're usually eating barbecue, and you have soup with the barbecue, or soup with all the side dishes, and usually one of them is a meat dish. I think the variety on a single table in Korea, like, you have so many side dishes, and I think, David, it might be you don't like the flavors of the side dishes, but, or maybe it's you've been unlucky, or the places you went, those weren't as good as they could have been. But, like, especially eating at my mother-in-law's house, where everything's homemade and everything is so good. So I mean, I'm obviously biased, but yeah, I think I would, if I had to choose one, it would definitely be Korean.
Mine's more the spice palette. Typically comes from one kind of pepper.
Gochu.
Yeah. And whether you can package it however you want, at the end of the day, the overpowering flavor was gochujang, and that was my issue.
Yeah. But like, my going back to like my wife's home, that would be present sometimes, but it's not an every single meal thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like it may be an ordering or like a restaurant thing that it maybe feels that way, but there are a lot of foods
can't get at restaurants. Like Galbi Jjim, I always say, is like one of my favorite Korean foods. Mm. Whenever I tell Korean friends that, I'd be like, can you please recommend like a Galbi Jjim restaurant? Because the rare chance I have to go to someone's house and eat it, I love it. And I always like laugh, be like, Galbi Jjim, like, yeah, it's so hard to find that food out, you know? Mm. Japan has that too, actually, with
home-cooked meals versus, like...
Nikujaga is, like, one of my favorite Japanese foods.
Yeah.
They always say, like, Nikujaga. Baked with the meat and potatoes. It's not... You can't go to a restaurant and really get... Like, a grocery store might have it on the side, but people, like, laugh and say it's not good.
Yeah, I feel like you have to get pretty adventurous in actually both countries to find, like, some of the deep-cut, like, meals, you know? Like, the stuff that people...
5 years in Japan, I'm still finding tons of new foods every year, you know?
I think it wouldn't be even a question. I think if I asked my wife, like, what she preferred, she'd say, hands down, Korean food. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she loves the spiciness of it. And she always says, like, the flavor really pops with Korean food. Yeah. Whereas in Japanese food, it's usually a lot more subtle. And I guess I can understand that. I think when you do go to get sashimi or something, it's very subtle flavors and consistencies.
I think,
you know,
Korean food and Japanese food, while many people say the two countries have a lot in common, the food is complete opposites. And Korean food is so in your face and so strong, the flavor profiles. And Japanese food is famously mild, right?
Yeah, so. I would say, like, that's...
I like spicy food.
I do, too. Yeah. I think Japan does a terrible job with giving us, like, spicy options, you know? There's very few things that I eat.
Curry.
Yeah. And even when you get, like, kimchi here, because a lot of restaurants have kimchi, it's usually not spicy. It's sweet and...
Do you like Korean food in Japan or Japanese food in Korea better? For me, I like Korean food in Japan. Japanese food in Korea is pretty bad.
I feel like ramen. There was some okay ramen.
Okay, you're right. Yeah. You're right with ramen.
I had some okay sushi. Granted, it's more American style, so like rolls with interesting things in it.
I had good sashimi in Korea.
Definitely. Sashimi.
Yeah, I just had the fish frozen there.
Oh yeah, no, I've had some really good stuff.
Yeah, same. There were a couple of nights out in Seoul where we went to this place where they had these tuna boats. Like, they brought out this, you know, sashimi boat of like sliced tuna, and it was fantastic. Salmon, you know, that's where I got into like eating raw fish, because I never I don't think I ever had raw fish, maybe once in a sushi restaurant back home, but that was it.
Outside of sushi, sashimi, and ramen, I'm not sure I've had... Oh, curry. We had Japanese curry restaurants, which were legit. I mean, Koko Curry is in Seoul.
That's true,
They had a Biko. I hadn't seen that the last time I was there, but those were actually Japanese chains, which I thought were the same as I've had here. Mm. Actually, they were nicer in curry... they were kind of upscale. They kind of made them a little bit nicer of a restaurant than here. Here it's much more fast food in and out. That was much more of a sit-down experience.
Mm. Yeah, I've had good Korean food here, but I've also found places where, like, there was an ajumma working in, like, the back room, you know, like, making some good Korean food. I think that, yeah, in Korea, I probably had better Japanese food. I mean, I wouldn't compare it to here. Like, I think there's better Japanese food here in Japan, but than Korean food here. Like, most Korean food here is pretty weak, not very spicy. Definitely, they never give you enough of the any of the sauces, like the gochujang. And so, like, they give you, like, a tiny squirt of it, you know? And that always bugs me. I'm like, this is not Korean food, you know? in Japan, there was a place called Kokoro Bento. Mm. And I used to go there all the time. And that was a good meal.
I gave points to. Yeah, yeah. I think that was good. You guys have anything else you want to add?
I'll just add, if you have a chance to go to either place, just do it, you know? Like, if you're going to travel to Japan or Korea.
How many people, like, live in Korea and haven't been to Japan, right? I traveled to Japan, like, 4 or 5 times, and I used to always be doing. And the big thing was always, like, it's too similar. Someone went, and they said it was just a clean, expensive version of Korea. And I used to always... I would know instantly if someone said that. Probably wouldn't get along with them very well. Because, it's probably true. There's no other two countries in Asia that are more similar, you know? I think the differences are pretty strong. And we know lots of people here. I've got lots of coworkers that live there for many years. I've never been to Korea. And it's shocking to me as well. Like, what are you doing? Like,
especially because it's so cheap to get there.
In the last 5 years, I think there's a certain discounting airlines that have made it much cheaper.
Yeah.
But still, like, especially if you know me and you hear how much we love Korea and tell you how great it is, why aren't you going there? But, they're both two really awesome places. I still think sometimes if the right storm came along, like a really great job or something like that, my son was a little bit older, I might consider going back to Korea.
I mean, there's big international schools out there. I mean, at some point, we may have to do it. You never know. When you work abroad, you just don't know what's going on in the country all the time or have, like, your finger on the pulse. So you never know if you're going to get kicked out of the country or if all the jobs are going to dry up or something. I mean, it sounds kind of like, doom and gloom. But, I mean, honestly, I mean, you could be back home and all of the jobs could dry up as well. So
to bring it back, I really think we did it right, even though it wasn't at all cognitive, like being in Korea in our earlier time in our life, right? And coming to Japan later. It just feels so right. I guess it's the other, like we mentioned before, the foreigners in my neighborhood, not even at our school. I see lots of other 40, 50-year-old, guys who aren't Japanese, and it makes you just feel like there's a lot of opportunities outside of teaching or being in the military here, There's a lot of jobs. I think if you speak good Japanese, you'll be taken pretty seriously here. I'm not sure that's true in Korea. Maybe that's changing.
It's definitely changing. Yeah, I feel like Korea is just a little bit behind. I think what we experience here with that older group of foreign people living in Japan is what the current group of people living in Korea will be.
Do you think you'll see, like, white dudes working at, like, the convenience store like you do here? Because, I mean, I walk in the Gap and see... Just more in Tokyo, I see that more, but...
I see it here in Osaka sometimes.
The last 5 years, it's very common.
I imagine that's going to be happening, especially with... Because a lot of it, I think, is more like half Japanese, half non-Japanese people often. So you have that... That's where that starts.
Yeah, but they're straight. Like, you see a lot of Indian or Southeast Asian. And...
Yeah, that's the difference, right? Is that... I feel like Japan has a more multicultural expat community, where Korea tends to be through the military, teaching, and people have stayed because they either get married or find other routes. I feel like it is changing with foreigners speaking Korean. Seems to be much more common than it was back when we were there. There was no expectation that we could speak Korean, and if we could speak anything, it was like an amazing experience for that person. They would be overjoyed.
Yeah.
All I ever learned was hi.
If you said that, the Korean person would probably be very excited that you speak any Korean.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not the case so much anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like that is changing, where there's a lot more Korean or non-Korean people speaking very good Korean.
That's where I think the cultural export stuff happens too, right? Like in the 80s and 90s, Japan had their boom.
Yeah.
We had high schools that people learned Japanese and stuff that wasn't that uncommon. I don't think that really exists so much anymore. It's definitely dying. I think Korean will be like offered just because, like, there's, people love their K-pop back in the States now and stuff. So,
well, I think also, too, like, Korea is a place where there are a lot of businesses that are coming up. Like, Samsung's a huge international business. I mean, it's no slouch, I mean, it's more people have Samsung phones and televisions and stuff than ever before. And I don't think that that's, I don't know if that's slowing down, you know, as far as like Korea's, their business model is always based on like people, right? It's like people are the commodity, right?
Yeah.
And so that, and if it's an intellectual commodity, then they're only going to keep growing, and they test well, you know, as far as like international testing goes. And I think that, you know, I don't know, maybe they might be the next big star in Asia. Now that North Korea is gonna join forces, right?
Yeah, I think personally, I think they are the big star in the last 5 years. I think they have that spot right now. I mean, I guess China in a lot of other ways, but I think what's seen as cool, like I think Westerners look now and see Korea as the new cool. You know, it's taken Japan's spot culturally. Anyway,
is Korea cool with a K, K O O L.
Korea with the C?
Korea with the C? No, I know about Korea with the C, yeah. Anyways, with that, we should probably
to wrap up.
Thanks for listening. You know, as always, for all of you that are reaching out, you know, we love to hear from you guys. We're doing a lot more with social media and stuff, so please check us out on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, all over the web. We're at Japan 2.0, spell out point. And thanks for all your contributions and suggestions for the podcast. We take all that stuff to heart.
That's right. And the song of the show is 11, Korean song. Our first time not having a Japanese song ever, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly
Olive Branch.
What the name of the... It's, the name of the group is a number as well. It's like 11, and the name of the song is 7 or something like
check,
that.
Check the show but notes.
Check the show notes. There. Yeah.
The music video is really the shining star of this song, so we'll put a link to that too, right?
I think like the kid,
the baby
like,
sound, the baby girl.
Wah, 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 like, sound is the best part of the song.
When I first saw the song,
you know, I love annoying music.
I thought it was going to be the next sigh. Like, I thought it was really going to explode.
Yeah.
And it didn't. So it's our little secret.
But they did come out with another song that
wasn't as good.
Wasn't as good, but it still had a cool music video. So, they only have 2 songs. So, you know, check those out. Yeah.
Instead of everything we said. So don't get too into them because it's a dead end alley. But yeah, 11.
And you know, before we go, I just want to tell everyone, if you could rate us on iTunes, that'd be a big help. You know, we really want to reach a bigger audience this year. So if you have 5 minutes, go on iTunes, give us 5
Chris.
Stars.
Chris hasn't rated us. Why not, Chris?
Yeah, Chris, come on. We're putting you on the spot right now.
I'm just waiting for my invite now. I'm definitely going to
do it. Yeah, after this episode
I'll take
is
your
posted,
phone and do it.
It's going to be 5 stars. Yeah. So thanks for listening. And as always, you know, we'll see you next time. Peace.
Me love it.
me 11.